when I was playing with Art Blakey, man, it was really bad. And I remember we were playing the tune My Funny Valentine, and Art Blakey let me go for the longest time. He finally said, he says, "Look, man, you're not Miles Davis. Stop doing that."
For Terrence Blanchard and just about every other jazz trumpet player on this planet, there comes a time when you realize you are not Miles Davis. Since the 1950s, all kinds of people, not just musicians or trumpet players, emulated almost to the point of imitation aspects of Miles' style. I'm talking about the way he dressed. Of course, for musicians, the lyrical way he phrased on his horn with plenty of space. I remember the first time I talked with Miles, I was struck by how country his way of speaking was and how his voice had a lyrical rise and fall.
"Man, what you talking about? What is that stuff doing on my mouthpiece?"
It wasn't just straight. Well, Miles Davis's greatest achievement was in his sound, the type of lyrical, spiritual directness that he always communicated. Regardless of style, he could always make you have a closer connection to the music and to the most human part of your soul.
For me, Miles is the quintessential artist in my mind. He kind of defined the word.
In this hour with two great trumpeters, my homeboy Terrence Blanchard and Sioux City, Iowa's own Ryan Kaiser, we celebrate the years when Miles Davis was discovering himself and his sound. We'll delve into his bebop and consider his cool period. Then we're going to play music from Davis's first great quintet, the one with John Coltrane, Philly Joe Jones, Paul Chambers, have mercy. And then we're going to get into the repertoire that he created with masterful arranger Gil Evans.
All of this stuff is golden. All of this stuff is sacred in the jazz world, so it's kind of hard to touch any of it. But when you get to Porgy and Bess, I mean, it's like, all right, come on. You know? So it's like the holy grail in the jazz world.
Hallowed music from the early Miles Davis songbook is just ahead. It's Jazz at Lincoln Center. I'm Wynton Marcellus. Ryan Kaiser plays trumpet next to me in our Jazz at Lincoln Center orchestra. I first heard about him when he was still a high school student. Clark Terry said, "Man, watch out for this young boy." He later became the winner of the Thelonious Monk competition, and Nicholas Payton told me, "That boy can play." Ryan says all trumpeters go through a Miles phase. It's all about the journey of becoming a jazz trumpet player. His impact can't really be calculated. He's one of the most important figures in the music. Kaiser begins our set with a tune from a 1951 recording session that Davis did with three incredible saxophonists, all very different and all very influential, Jackie McLean, Lee Konitz, and Stan Getz. The piece is George Shearing's Conception. We'll be right back. was George Shearing's Conception, followed by Enigma, a piece composed by trombonist J.J. Johnson. Enigma was inspired by some of Conception's chord changes. The Ryan Kaiser Quintet, Sherman Irby on alto saxophone, Peter Zack on piano. John Weber was holding down things on the bass, and Willie Jones III swinging on the drums. For Miles Davis, the early 1950s were very tough years. He was struggling for musical success, and he was engaged in a deep battle with heroin. But his life hadn't started out that way. He had a childhood of privilege outside of St. Louis, riding horses and taking music lessons. Believe me, for black folks at that time, that was quite rare. When he finished high school in 1944, his skill as a trumpeter allowed him to come here to the Juilliard School in New York. Soon he dropped out and got on a new scholarship further uptown, in Harlem, at Men's Playhouse. Oh, Dizzy and Charlie Parker taught the new music that was called bebop. By 1949, Miles was playing bebop at the top of the class with Dizzy and Bird. Capitol Records offered his first recording contract. But Miles had also been hanging out for a while in the tiny apartment of arranger Gil Evans with a group that included saxophonist Lee Konitz and Jerry Mulligan and drummer Max Roach. Miles took those musicians and many others into the studio to record an innovative nonet and captured the birth of the cool. Jazz writers loved it, but in sales and in audience, the birth was a complete bust. Nonetheless, it exposed a wider public to the music of Konitz, Evans, and others. They developed a style which became known as West Coast. The ironic thing was Miles' group was about the integration of the races. Eventually, West Coast became known as the white counterpart to hard bop, which was considered to be black. For Miles, it didn't make a difference whether it was cool or hard bop. He had to deal with the hard reality of heroin addiction. With no money to support his habit, Davis just struggled to survive. By 1952, he was reduced to pimping and stealing from his friends. But the next year, with his father's help, Miles began to turn things around. He quit his drug habit and got serious with exercise and, of course, his music. In the middle of all this self-destructing and growing up, he allegedly wrote two famous melodies, the one you're hearing now, Tune Up, and the composition, Four.
The first Miles Davis record that I listened to a lot, Ellis Marsalis had given it to me, actually. It was called Four and More.
There's my daddy messing with some more New Orleans trumpet players.
I took that record home, and I listened to it all day. I listened to it every day. Miles Davis was the guy for me.
Terrence Blanchard.
There's always been this debate, man, about Four and who actually is the composer of the tune. I mean, when I've talked to Eddie Cleanhead Vincent, he told me that he wrote the tune. I mean, who knows, you know, who actually is the composer of the tune. It's a great tune. Miles has been associated with that tune for a number of years, and it's gone down in history as one of the great jazz standards. So I'm just going to leave it at that.
Let's listen to Terrence Blanchard revisit his youth. We're going to hear him play one of those great masterpieces made famous by Miles Davis. Here's Four.
Thank you.
That was Four, written by Eddie Cleanhead Vinson and credited to Miles Davis. But it was definitely performed by Terrence Blanchard's quintet at the Rose Theater, with Bryce Winston on the tenor sax, Fabian Almazan on piano, Derek Hodge on bass, and Kendrick Scott on drums. And if you're just joining us and missed the first half of the many moods of Miles Davis, the early years, I don't want you to brood over it. Get in the mood anytime by hearing this program at jalc.org. We are pleasantly streaming 24/7. This is Jazz at Lincoln Center. I'm Wynton Marcellus.
It was so mysterious when I would hear those live concerts of his, some of the things that he would do. And I thought that he was immensely brave to take the approach that he took.
That's Terrence Blanchard talking about his childhood idol, Miles Davis.
When I started to learn more about the history of jazz and more about the people who had come along before him and during his generation, I had just much more admiration for him, because he came in during a time where there were some serious heavyweights. You know, Roy Eldridge was still playing, Fats Navarro, Clifford Brown, Dizzy Gillespie, you know, and he decided not to do that.
By the mid-1950s, Miles Davis had put his past behind, and he was pumping out one small masterpiece after another on the Prestige label. He was honing that trademark sound which counterstated bebop. With bebop, people were playing all kinds of notes. But with Miles, it was always more important to discover what was hidden. That led him right to the sound of the harmon mute, something that could cloak that beautiful sound and make it even more mysterious. In our Rose Theater, trumpeter Terrence Blanchard and his band are about to practice their own style of compressed excitement in a Miles Davis medley that will take us through two ballads, It Never Entered My Mind and Little Melanie, to Gil Evans' arrangement of two pieces from George Gershwin's Porgy and Bess.
Thank you.
Trumpeter Terrence Blanchard and his quintet with a medley from Miles Davis' songbook, It Never Entered My Mind, Little Melanie, Buzzard Song, and Gone. The quintet included Bryce Winston on tenor sax, Fabian Almazan on piano, Derek Hodge on bass, and Kendrick Scott on drums. Jazz Lincoln Center is produced at Murray Street. This edition was written by the wonderful Simon Rentner, who shares producing duties with David Gorin and Stephen Rath. Rob McCumber and Zach Berkman recorded our concert at Rose Hall, the House of Swing. Thanks to Chris Roos, Emily Rubin, and Kay Nywood. Cat Henry manages our recordings and broadcasts. Adrian Ellis is our executive director. You can hear the many moods of Miles Davis and find lots more music at our website, jalc.org. I'm Wynton Marcellus. Thank you for joining us. And this week, well, we'll let our Crescent City comrade Terrence Blanchard have the very last word.
The biggest tribute to Miles or anybody like that is not to try to be like them or try to sound like them, but to be yourself. Because that's what they did. That's how they created their whole body of work, their sound, their rhythm, their color. He has always been a big inspiration to me. Always.